Now Jimmy Carter is joining in the pig pile. Speaking about President Obama's ISIS strategy, Carter says, first of all, we waited too long. We let the Islamic State build up its money, capability, and strength and weapons while it was still in Syria. The Obama team is starting to get a little testy about these leftist criticisms. One of Obama's former spokesmen, Bill Burton, if that's his real name, said this about Leon Panetta.
He's done such a dishonorable thing by going after the president that he served at a time of a lot of different instabilities around the world. And, you know, to attack his leadership, I think, is small and petty.
It's so small and petty, they should change his name to Leon Panetti. So why are they all turning on President Hopey Change? Let's discuss with our handsome and smart party panel. We've got Red Eye co-host Andy Levy and Reason TV producer and film director, it's Anthony Fisher. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
No, you're so welcome, and thank you for both being here. So, Andy, I'll start with you.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter, you poke him every few years, and he criticizes the sitting president.
I am so tired of neocons like Jimmy Carter trashing President Obama. Oh, he waited too long. We should have bombed them a long time ago. We're going to need boots on the ground. That's always their answer for everything. War is not the answer, Mr. Carter. I don't know what it's going to take to get this through their head. But seriously, This is more than a little rich. Zena and Evans over at a thing called Reason magazine.
Oh, I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I believe I've heard of the Zenon.
Yes.
Zenon, known in the Middle East.
As Evans pointed out, Carter kind of prides himself on being a noble peacemaker, you know, to the point where he's dealt with deplorable regimes and maybe even helped prop them up. But now he's coming out and saying we waited too long on ISIS. I don't know. He does seem to enjoy blaming America for things, so maybe this is just part of that.
I mean, he would have required us to be, what, bombing Syria in 2012?
Yeah.
I'm trying to wrap my head around
Jimmy Carter. Same with Leon Panetta, same with Hillary Clinton.
Saying, we should have had an undeclared bombing war into a country with which we were not at war in 2012. It doesn't seem plausible.
But by the way, that's what they're all saying to differentiate themselves from the president. And it's the weird area to kind of tack onto. But I want to speak to Carter's criticism of Americans being bombed with drones, you know, and that's something he says is unconstitutional and violates basic human rights. Do you give him a high five for that?
I do, but in the same breath, he talks about we need boots on the ground to fight ISIS right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about Jimmy Carter, right? Foreign policy legend, you know, the guy who bragged about that we didn't fire a single bullet in during his administration when there were hostages in Iran and the Islamic Republic took hold in Iran.
Yep.
And he thinks Hamas is a more trustworthy partner for peace than Israel. This is, you know, every dictator's favorite ex-president, Jimmy Carter.
Well, I mean, Carter did sort of give us a template for what is happening in Syria right now. We did see this guy perhaps maybe sort of fund a Mujahideen in Afghanistan.
Are you blaming Jimmy Carter for ISIS?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying
he
funded the moderates in Afghanistan to fight off the imperialist Russians. And oh, wait, those moderates turned out to be Al-Qaeda. Shocking.
Also, don't forget that he brought us everlasting peace between Israel and the Palestinians.
Yeah, well, every president has done that.
Yeah.
Okay,
this is
what I want to say about the people who should have been psychic when arming Saddam Hussein and the Mujahideen. What are we doing right now in the Middle East? I mean, what we're doing, like arming various factions that could turn into something so much worse than ISIS.
Uh-huh.
And
when was the last time we fought people who weren't using our weapons? I honestly don't even think I can remember.
It's a bad. I mean, isn't there an argument against asymmetric warfare? I mean, it's not asymmetric if they're fighting with our stuff, right?
I think there are drone attacks in Yemen and probably Pakistan are not landing on people with our weapons. But I'm not sure of that, frankly. I don't think so.
We ought to acknowledge that Jimmy Carter, though, is not entirely wrong. I mean, there is something really incoherent and abstract about the president's policy towards Syria. It doesn't look particularly good. That's not to say that there's any substance there anyway.
He's absolutely right
to criticize.
But that's kind of par for the course. I mean, mission creep, bizarre sort of nebulous objectives in foreign policy.
Passivity.
Par for the course.
All the things that Panetta said about him, regardless
of... Yeah, but I'm saying it's par for the course in terms of other presidents. I mean, the last guy had big time objectives that weren't really attainable, that seemed to shift all the time, and mission creep was pretty much par for the course.
George Bush did have, by the way, like an Oprah sort of foreign policy. It's like, live your dreams. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, it's not that Carter is necessarily wrong. It's just that it's weird for Jimmy Carter to be saying all of this.
Carter is so all right. over the place. He's suddenly offended by the extremism of ISIS, but he's never been offended by Hamas or the regime in Venezuela. And this is a guy who actually went on the record saying that the genocide in Sudan was not genocide, that it was just a bunch of random Janjaweed militia, and that we were making all too much of it.
Do you know what he could do right now? He could run Turkey, and he'd be fine.
It's a shame when Nobel Peace Prize winners fight. I think we can.
You're not being enough of a warmonger, Mr. Peaceful. All right, a masked jihadist who alternates seamlessly between English and Arabic, who appeared to help execute Syrian soldiers, is an ISIS recruitment. He's in an ISIS recruitment video that was released last month. He may be an American, and someone in the U.S. could help identify him. That's according to the FBI and a plea for public help. They are asking you to tell them who this guy is. And meanwhile, Representative Duncan Hunter, I don't even know her, claimed Tuesday that at least 10 Islamic State fighters, have been caught trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border into Texas.
I know that at least 10 ISIS fighters have been caught coming across the Mexican border in Texas. There's nobody talking about
that?
It. Because I've asked the Border Patrol, Greta.
Yeah, and they told me, and their word is stronger than oak. Everyone knows it. So do you, Anthony, do you believe in your gut? You're a learned person. You have a fantastic grasp of history. Do you believe that ISIS fighters are really getting here through Mexico, given all the other alternatives?
No, I don't think they have to cross through Mexico. I think that when I hate to say when, but when something terrible happens on American soil, it's going to be an American or someone with a British passport or someone with a Canadian passport. They're not going to, I know it's a common canter to say that we're being invaded from the South, but I don't buy it. We're being invaded by JFK Airport.
And by the way, DHS has denied this is true. DHS, who basically runs Border Patrol, is like, no.
We have no idea.
That's
what
not happening.
Yeah,
there's no intelligence that suggests. Is Duncan Hunter just speaking out of his...
I think there are maybe four possibilities here. The first is that Hunter's Border Patrol source is right, and the administration is denying it and keeping it quiet because they don't want to admit that this means the odds are that other terrorists have successfully crossed. I think there's a possibility that the Border Patrol source is right, and Hunter should have kept his mouth shut because the government is keeping this quiet so that ISIS doesn't know the feds have these guys and is presumably getting intel from them. The third source is the third possibility is that Hunter's source is completely wrong, and the fourth source I think is that the feds have actually captured James O'Keefe. So I don't know which one.
Yeah, I haven't seen a video this week, Andy. I go with number four. Yeah.
Let's remember who Duncan Hunter is. Yes. He is Duncan Hunter Jr. His father, Duncan Hunter Sr., was also a congressman from San Diego for about 1,000 years. He ran for president in 2008 on the same platform that he's been running San Diego or trying to run in San Diego for years, which is that the Mexicans are coming. So it's been steeped in this family. Mm-hmm. Duncan Hunter Sr. has said any number of totally outlandish things about the fall of civilization because of Mexicans in the past. So I'm going to treat this one with a little bit of skepticism.
I mean, using fear to promote some other political aim, like, say, securing the southern border. I wish I could say that I'm more than moderately outraged about it, but it's pretty much par for the course. This is what you do. You trump up a particular threat. You suggest all manner of terrible things will happen, unless you do exactly what I say right now.
I think there are so many. We have so many visas and visa agreements with various countries, dozens of other countries, that there's really no need to spend 3 days in the hot desert, eating out of tuna cans.
You've been to the border, right?
Pooping in sagebrush.
And you've spoken to Border Patrol agents, right?
Yeah.
All due respect, they are not really equipped to be dealing with foreign policy issues like whether or not ISIS is coming from Syria or through Mexico.
Yeah.
And I'm not really buying the idea that they'd be speaking to a sitting congressman.
Well, ISIS is such a huge threat. It's the Islamic State, and they have their own DMV, and they issue driver's licenses. So when someone comes over the border and has to show ID, that's they've got.
I think they
license
see
passports.
The UN.
They will, actually, if Russia has their way. It's like, never sit on the Security Council, because eat it, America. All right, gentlemen, we'll see you a little later in the show.
Excellent.
I love Megan, Georgia, and I love you, and thank you for being a part of the independence. When a car is pulled over because the driver is not wearing a seatbelt and a passenger is afraid to exit because the cops have already waved a gun at him, should the police issue a ticket, let them continue driving to the hospital to see the driver's dying mother, or smash the window and use a taser. You too.
All right. I'm not the operation in this vehicle.
Are you gonna open the door?
Why do you say somebody's not gonna hurt you? People are getting shot by the police.
And they tase him. I mean, that's horrible. What the hell is wrong with you? I mean, that is not how you administer law enforcement in this country. Perhaps a tad excessive. The local police department has said of the incident, the Hammond police officers were at all times acting in the interest of officer safety and in accordance with Indiana law. Oh, well, so that clears that up much better. All right, our panel is back, Andy Levy and Anthony Fisher. So, Anthony, you have covered law enforcement for a long time. You are skeptical that these officers are always acting in the best interest of public safety. What do you think when you see that video?
Well, I have cops in my family. It's not, I don't have a bone to pick with every cop in the world, but that video last night, I watched it twice, and it haunted me for the rest of the night. I mean, you guys only got to see a couple seconds of it, but it goes on for several more minutes. As they're arresting him and dragging him down the sidewalk, the taser clamp is still in his back, and he's begging them to take it out.
God.
His girlfriend's 7-year-old daughter is in the back seat sobbing.
Covered in shattered glass, by the way. Both kids in the back seat covered in shattered glass.
A 14-year-old boy who was taking the video, and there was a 7-year-old girl, and her tears and her cries for mommy. If that doesn't do something for you, if that doesn't say that maybe this is a little extreme, maybe cops shouldn't be treating even a basic traffic stop like they're dealing with an occupied people, then I throw my hands up.
Yeah. If you were in that car, do you think they would have had the same reaction?
Well, I hope you're not insinuating that race had something to do with this. I'm sure that's not the case.
Not in Indiana.
Look, no one seems to be talking about the fact here that these people did not have their seatbelts on.
Yeah,
they were a threat to the Republic.
Danger to everyone.
Clearly.
Someone has to keep America safe from the scourge of the unseatbelted. Right. The problem is, I honestly believe, as Anthony was saying, I have cops in my family too, and I know a lot of police who are not like this. They're very honorable and do a good job. It becomes really, really hard to give them the benefit of the doubt when you see something like this, because there are too many instances when they haven't acted properly. And the point is, nobody should be madder about police using excessive force, police using poor judgment, et cetera, than other police.
Absolutely.
I agree completely.
It makes their job
harder. What creates that reaction of the people in that car.
Well, and they said that. Yeah. They said, what do you mean we're not in any danger? People are getting shot.
She literally says,
It's not that there are not racially motivated things that happen. That is undoubtedly the truth. The fact, however, well, we've already reacted to the other stuff, so I'll take care of this quickly for all of your benefits. This is so regular an occurrence. It happens so frequently. Baltimore City, black mayor, black commissioner of police, is having a banner year for cops beating the snot out of people who they say reached for a weapon until the video comes out. Right. A cell phone camera video, mind you, not a lapel cam video, that shows it was a total lie. Beating up on citizens, unfortunately, is becoming an equal opportunity biracial sport. And it's unfortunate, and it is disturbing to see it, but we don't have to presume racial malice because it's so ubiquitous at this point. That is, I don't know if that's a worse outcome, but it's a fact. We don't have to presume.
No, I was just going to say, you may well be right about that. I think the black people in that car being approached by white cops don't feel that way.
Undoubtedly.
And I think that whether it's true or not, that is the perception
that
among
perception
a lot of black people, and it's hard to blame them for feeling that way.
That perception is very real.
And I'm sure there's a justification. I'm sure that police department says, oh, no, this is completely 100% justified. He didn't listen to verbal commands, and, you know, we didn't shoot him.
Well, using pre-cell phone video language, right? This is what they used to say during the Rodney King thing. Before we had ubiquitous video cameras on stuff, this is how they would describe things. This is who are you going to believe ultimately?
Right.
But now the great thing about these cameras is precisely it allows people who were acting like big pains in the butt to be exposed to that, who are bringing inflammatory and incorrect junk lawsuits against police departments will be exposed, and bad cops will be exposed too, which can't happen soon enough.
By the way, it's bad for law enforcement, because how are you supposed to recruit cops when, you know,
absolutely,
younger men and women are seeing this stuff too, and you're like, why do I want to be a part of that?
I mean, one of the biggest problems is that it's well documented that being a cop is as safe as it's ever been in the history of cops in America. And yet cops are still justifying behavior like that on officer safety. That any time a citizen doesn't completely, immediately, and explicitly obey a direct order, they are a threat to the officer's life.
Crab fishing is the most dangerous apparently, and they never tase those Alaskan king crabs.
Because even if you're good at it, you end up catching crabs. So it doesn't even pay.
Which isn't deadly. It's just
so even on a good day.
Yeah. Anything
about
that.
That's the best possible outcome if you got crabs.
And then it's antibiotics, and it's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Awful. You guys, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Great to see you both again.